It was Siyata Deshmaya. We're starting the sixth perek of Maseiras Yesharim. And a totally new topic of Zerizus, after having finished Zehirus. Achar ha-Zehirus, Yavo ha-Zerizus. And it's interesting that he uses the language Yavo. Because there's many words you could say, after one comes two. But Yavo is a language of, it comes naturally. Achrei ha-Zehirus, Yavo ha-Zerizus. It will come. That's what will come. Once you start working yourself and you start a path of working, and you've begun working yourself and being very careful about things, the natural thing that will then happen will be that you will become more enthusiastic and invested in your mitzvot. Ki azihirus sovev ala lo taseh. That what we spoke about until now of being careful was primarily around things that one shouldn't do, and being careful to know the boundaries of what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. But Zerizus, and then we're taking the next step forward, and once you know how to be careful of what's inappropriate, the Zerizus is ala ase. V'hainu asur me'rav ase tov. And I'll just tell you, once there was once a rabbi who came to Cambridge Avenue to speak on Yom and the Rhyme, during our sense mitzvah, from Male Adumi. And he said the following mashal, it's very important, I think, on this line. He said, imagine you're walking from here to the tzomet, and you don't know the way. So someone gives you directions, and they say to you two things. They say, number one, they're doing road works right now. So you must be careful. There are some places where there's some holes in the ground. There are signposts. You'll notice them. Just be careful you don't fall in them. And number two is, you take a left outside of the base medrash. Then you take a left to the end of the path. And you walk straight, straight, straight. When you get to the end, you take a right. And that's where the junction is. That's where the bus stop is. So of those two parts, which is more important, which is less important? It's hard to say. Because if you don't realize there are holes, then you fall and you won't get there. That's very, very, very important. But on the other hand, if you don't have directions, you also won't get it. You won't know which way to go. So they're both important. They're both essential. But let's ask a different question. Which is the purpose of the question and which is not the purpose of the question? Well, falling in the holes is not the purpose of the walk. Being careful not to fall in the holes wasn't the goal of why you're walking there. The directions was the purpose of why you're going there. Just you needed to know where the holes were to make sure you can get there. But that's not the purpose. So sometimes you have two instructions that are given. One of the instructions is, there are places where you may fall. Be careful you don't fall. That's clearly not what we're trying to build. That's not the goal. And then you have other instructions of, this is what you should be doing. This is where you're supposed to be going. Now you need both instructions. Because you may fall in and you won't get what you need to get to. You need both. But it doesn't mean that's the purpose. When you have mitzvot lo taseh and mitzvot aseh, the mitzvot lo taseh are warning you not to fall into holes. They're saying to you, these actions are inappropriate to the degree where it will hold you back from being able to reach your end goal. But that's also not the goal. The purpose of a Jew is not to be in the world being careful not doing averos and zeo. The purpose is to be coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way we come close to Hashem is through the active mitzvah, the mitzvah aseh, by doing the will of Hashem. Just to give another mashal, if you're married, and I know that I give this mashal a lot because it's a perfect ratio. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made husband and wife to teach us about the ratio between him and Hashem, us and Hashem. So if you're married, then you know what annoys your wife. And you're careful not to do those things that annoy your wife. You're a good husband. So will you have shalom bias? Not really. You just won't have fights. But that doesn't mean you'll be developing a relationship. So if you call shalom, like what the non-Jews call shalom, that there's no friction between two countries, then maybe you will have shalom. There won't be fighting going on because you know what annoys her and you don't do it. But will you be developing a relationship? Not necessarily. To do that, you have to also know what she likes and to invest in that side of the relationship as well to show that you actually care. That's the two sides of this factor. So what we've spoken about until now in the Zehirus was being careful in what's against the will of Hashem, doing a cheshbon nefesh to get an understanding of ourselves, where we may fail, where we may do the wrong things, to make sure we're not falling in holes, to make sure we're not annoying our spouse, to make sure we're doing everything correctly. But we haven't started building the relationship yet. The way you then build the relationship is the next stage. The next stage, once you're making sure you're not doing anything wrong, and I'd say once, but it doesn't go hand in hand. I mean, it does go hand in hand. You work on both at the same time. You don't say, only when I don't do any bad things, then I will wear tefillin. No, okay, you wear tefillin, you learn Torah, you're doing the positive ones even along the way. But the goal is the connection with Hashem. And that comes from the mitzvah aseh. The inyano shel zerizus, mevuar. Now, the idea of enthusiasm and excitement in mitzvot goes like this. Shehu ha-hakdama le-mitzvos v'hashlamat inyanam. So there's two aspects to it. There's before the mitzvah, as a preparation, and there's the finishing of the mitzvah. And it's a crucial, these two elements are crucial. You need zerizus, you need enthusiasm, you need energy to do a mitzvah in two different stages. One is to get going. There's an opportunity for a mitzvah, but you just can't be bothered. You don't really have the energy to get started. You know there's a Seder starting now and until you get there. There's to start a mitzvah and get into a mitzvah, there's an opportunity, and in order to take it, that takes a level of enthusiasm. To be inspired to begin the act. That's point number one. There's a separate point, which is, often it will happen that when a person is excited to start, and you do get into it, you have a certain amount of gas, which you can go on, and so you feel like, oh, I'm worn out. And sometimes it's not so much more to do to finish it off. There's another level of enthusiasm, not another level, another aspect of enthusiasm which is needed to, once you're really doing something good, you're involved in a good action, but to finish it off. So the one is to get to the base midrash, and the one is when you're in the middle of learning and you've thought an idea through, but you didn't really fully chop it, but there's still, and there is still more time, you say, oh, let's just move on. So no, I want to hashlim et ha'inyan. I want to make sure that I did it well, that I understood it fully. So you need a new boost, a booster of zerizus at that stage as well. So those are the two times when zerizus comes into play. So one is hakdama lemitzvot, in order to get involved in doing it, and not be delayed, and procrastinate, and push off, and ignore. And then even when you are, Baruch Hashem, involved in it, you need another level, or another aspect of the zerizus. You started it, you have to see it all the way through. V'zeh kamo shetzarich, sorry, v'kalashon hazeh amru chazal, in Psachim Daf Daled, zerizin makdimim limitzvot. He's emphasizing the first one now, that the first element of zerizus is even before the mitzvah starts. It's in order to get you going, in order to get you enthusiastic, in order to get started. And so it's just interesting that zerizus is something which you work on as a midah, in many of times, many opportunities, and then you draw on it when you see an opportunity coming your way. So how it works will be like this. You have in yourself different character traits. You can choose, if you're aware of them and you're working on them, you can choose to tap into them at any given time. Let me make it clear. Let's say you have a wallet, and in your wallet you have a number of cards. And different cards work for different things. Some cards work for this shop, and some cards work for another shop, some work for the gas, some work for a store. Different cards are for different things. If you come to a particular place, and you say, can I see your card please? And you put out the wrong card, then it won't work. You won't get anywhere. But if you put out the right card, and you know which card it is you need to put out at each station, then you can put out the correct card, and you say, okay, you can go through. You have in you the koach of zerizus. Now, you have to be working on it and building. But the koach of zerizus is a koach within every person which enables you to move beyond the barrier of laziness, move beyond the barrier of procrastination, of distraction, and say, I'm focused on this now and I'm just doing it. That's a card that you hold. You hold that card at all times. It's in your wallet stored away. You have to be aware that you have that card, and you have to be aware of the situation. You have to then draw on it and pull it out. So it's not necessarily something which you're applying all the time in every situation. But then you see a mitzvah opportunity comes your way. It's 9 o'clock, it's time for Seder. It's 6:45, I have to start leaving for the Beis Medrash. Someone needs help, I'm going to go and help them. Whatever it is that you see an opportunity, that's the shop. You've arrived at the store, and then you notice that this is a chance where I need to draw on the zerizus. And you have it all the time within you. Just a question of knowing that you have it and tapping into it. So you notice, zerizut opportunity. Zerizut opportunity. It's like a warning sign that rings in the background. Zerizut opportunity. You say, okay, fine. And you pull out the correct card of zerizus and you can go and do it. And that comes even before you're in the mitzvah. Zerizim makdimim le mitzvahs. The middle of zerizus has come before you do the mitzvah in order for you to go and do the mitzvah. Just having that model in your mind, that mashal in your mind of the wallet and the card and the store, whenever you're then in a situation where you say, I know I should probably be doing this, you say, oh, this is that example of the wallet. Now I know. Okay, I'm pulling out the zerizus. I know I have it within me. I'm pulling it out right now. And then you just have the koach. You have the energy to go and do it. V'zeh ki kamo shetzarech pikchut gedola v'hashkafa rabba linatzel mimokshe hayetzer. In the same way as you have to use your intelligence, you have to be aware of you and use your understanding of what the tricks of the Yetzer Hara is. And as well as that, you also have to have hashkafa rabba, which means you have to look at the world. Meaning, stage number one is you have to have an understanding in theory of what tricks the Yetzer Hara could use. That's through learning. And then hashkafa rabba is looking at the world and seeing where that comes up in my life. That's in order to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's what we spoke about in the last section. In order to move away from Sumera. In our mashal that we gave of walking down to the junction, that would be that you get a map, you see these are where the holes are, you know about the concept of holes, and then when you're walking, you're looking out, oh yeah, there's supposed to be a hole here, oh yeah, there it is. So that was Pikchut and Hashkafa. Now you are aware of the idea there is a Yetzer Hara, and then you see in your life where that Yetzer Hara is. And you're careful not to fall in that hole. You move to the side and you don't allow yourself to fall in. That's what you need against the Yetzer Hara. Shelo yishlot banu, they won't overtake us, leitarev ma'aseinu, and get involved in our actions. Kein sarich pikchut gedola v'ashkafa. So too you need, and we're going to be medayik here, let's be careful. So too you also need the two elements of the investment, the understanding of what Zrizus is about, and also paying attention in your life where an opportunity like that comes your way. So you have to know why it's important to have Zrizut, that's one point. And you also have to be aware, in my life, where is it important to be Zariz? And then he says three things. Number one, le'chos b'mitzvot, to grab hold of a mitzvah. Number two, v'lezakot behen, whatever that phrase means, you have to figure that out. And then number three, v'shelo tovda mimenu. So he says three different things we need here. So number one is le'chos b'mitzvot. We're not always aware of mitzvah opportunities. There's an amazing sefer written by the Chofetz Chaim called Sefer Mitzvot Katan. It's a small book, they have it in English as well, and it just goes through all the practical mitzvot that apply nowadays. So there's no Beis HaMikdash there, there's no Tumah V'Tahara there. It's all the practical mitzvot that apply nowadays, and one amud, very, very briefly, description of what the mitzvah is, practical relevant parts of it, and then you just read through that whole book. You can read it in a few days. And then you have a basic understanding of every mitzvah that's relevant for you today. Sefer Mitzvot Katan. And he writes there in the introduction, why did he write this book? And he says the following example. He says, there are many mitzvot that people do and aren't aware that they're a mitzvah. An example he gives is paying a worker on time. If you go on a bus and you give your Ravkav and you've now paid for that bus ride, you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraita of b'yomot tein scharo. Do you get reward for that mitzvah? According to the kavana that you have. You did the mitzvah, but if you're aware that you're doing a mitzvah, and you have kavana, I'm doing this as a mitzvah, you get reward as a mitzvah. If you're not, then it was a good action of morals and ethic and you know society norms, but you didn't have in mind, I'm doing a mitzvah. So you don't get reward for that mitzvah in that way. So he wrote the book so that we'll know what the mitzvahs are. And then even if we're doing them anyway, but we can be aware of them. Sometimes you have a frum Jew who grows up in a frum home and does what he does because that's just what he learned to do, but isn't even aware in all that he does what's actually a mitzvah and what's just a minhag and what is just stam his family does and no one knows why. You have different things in your home, and if you're aware what's a mitzvah, then you can have kavana for the sake of the mitzvah, and you get a mitzvah by doing it. So to over here. Point number one in Zerizus is lechos b'mitzvot, to be aware what's a mitzvah, to be focused on what the mitzvot are. And then notice a mitzvah opportunity and then run for it. There's a chance to do a mitzvah. I want the opportunity. I don't want to let it pass. That's point number one. Point number two is having the awareness that there's a refinement and a closeness to Hashem that comes through the mitzvah. V'lezakot behem. Lezakot is from the word zach, like shemen zayit zach, which means pure, refined oil. So pure and refined is what we're doing by doing the mitzvot. We're becoming pure and refined and closer, therefore, to Hashem. You have to have that kavana as well. When you come to do the mitzvah, your zari is both in your action, that a chance of a mitzvah came, you run for it. Don't let the opportunity pass. But also your zari is in your thoughts. Lezakot behem. Why am I doing it? And you quickly come to the understanding, I'm doing it because I want to be close to Hashem. And you need both of those elements. And then, there's one thing to come to those two, but there's something else to hold on to those two. Because sometimes you have it as an initial thought, why are you doing it? But then you get started and then all other ulterior motives come your way. I hope he'll notice me. I hope this will help me out later, that he'll do me a favor in return. And all other thoughts come your way later on. And then some person can slack off because he's hoping. Have you ever had that situation where you came to do something that was good for a good reason? As Gaiva comes to you, you don't do it as well. You know, you're about to say a good svara. Suddenly you think, this is a great svara, I'm going to show everyone. And then you forget what you were supposed to be saying. Because the moment that other mindset, other ideas come in, other alternative motives come in, and you're not being zariz anymore towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you lose that siyata deshmai. I remember once happened to me many years ago when I was running a race on sports day in my school. And I was ahead of the other person who was always my enemy and getting ahead of things. And as I realized I was probably going to win, then I probably slacked off at that moment and I looked around and he overtook me and won by a split second. So like, as you're focused on your goal and it's clear to you what you're supposed to be doing, you can be successful. The moment you kind of relax off and everything's okay and you're sure of yourself, then other motives come in, then you lose it. So therefore, the Mr. Shom says you have to have, number one, lechoz b'mitzvot, zrizut in the action of what you're doing. Number two, tarat ha-machshava, lezakot b'hem, I'm doing it to be refined and pure and I'm close to Hashem through doing it. And then number three is the shmira, the holding on to it. Make sure that throughout the action you don't lose that. So he says, v'shelo tovdana mimenu. Once you've got it, don't lose it. That's the three elements of zrizut. Zrizut in action, zrizut in intention, and zrizut continuously through, seeing it through until you've finished. In the language of Mr. Shoraim, lechoz b'mitzvos, lezakot behem, v'shelo tovdana mimenu. Ki kemoshem mesavev u'mishtadel ha-yetzahara betachburotav la'apil t'adam mimichmorot achet. In the same way as the yetzahara surrounds us and puts in effort with all of his trickery to make us fall in the dark side of sin, Kein mishtadel limnoa mimenu asiyat mitzvot. He also tries to prevent us from getting to the mitzvah in the first place. Ula abdem mimenu. And if we do start it, he tries to make us fall. I was talking to someone recently who told me that one of their biggest challenges that they have is in deciding what to do at any given moment. And it applies to them in many areas. When they sit down to learn, then they sit down to learn and they don't have very, very, very clear like schedule in their learning. I mean, sometimes they do, morning, afternoon, they do, but there are like times where it's a break time or 6 till 6 or 5, they don't go to the chog or the evening. And then they have different ideas in their mind of what they want to do. So they think, I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, and they'll do this. And they spend daily time thinking about what they should do in any given time. They choose something eventually, but they waste time. And they said, and then even when they're learning that thing, they always have this thought at the back of their mind that it probably would be more productive to do the other one. And then that's not only true in learning, it's also true in other things. When they've got time to either phone home or to learn, or maybe they should do some exercise, or maybe they should read a book, and they spend time thinking about, what should I do now? And then whatever they do, they feel like, maybe I should have done the other one. That's an example of the Yetzer Hara, who not only does he stop you from learning, but not only does he make you do averus, but even if you're doing good things, he like jumps in at the beginning to like confuse and distract. And if you do eventually do it, you're like not sure if it was the right thing you should have done. And that way, he's draining the energy of the good that we're doing. Either we may not do the good at all, or even if we do good eventually, like we're always not sure of ourselves. That's an example of the Yetzer Hara, not in the Sumera, but the Yetzer Hara in Zrizut. Eventually, we do good. He didn't stop us from doing good, but it wasn't Zariz. It wasn't connecting to Hashem with enthusiasm. I know I'm doing the will of Hashem right now and I'm investing all my energy in it. It's a lot of distraction. It once happened in the yeshiva of Yisrael Zalman Meltzer that the boys got into a big debate about Derech HaLimud. And at that time also there was the brisket Derech and there was the Derech that came before brisk and there was a whole debate in the Olam HaYeshivas about which is the right way. Arguing and arguing and arguing. Yisrael Zalman walks in and he looks at the boys and says, that's right boys, the Yetzer Hara has you exactly where he wants you. Talk all about learning. Talk more about learning. Talk the most you can all about learning. Just don't learn. It's exactly where the Yetzer Hara wants you. Because that's the way the Yetzer Hara. It seems like you're doing a good thing. You're involved in discussing the proper Derech HaLimud, but during Seder, is that the right time to do it? Not necessarily. It's important to understand, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing the right path. But right now, it's not coming from a place of goodness. It's coming from a place of distraction. And that's the Yetzer Hara in Zrizus. If you would just be invested and know what you want to be doing and do it with an understanding it's the will of Hashem and then continuously see it through when you're doing it, you'd be fine. But the Yetzer Hara tries to distract us, get involved in other things, debate what the right path is, not make a decision fully, always leave the option of the other door open, and then not feel like what we're doing is full. And so Kein mishtadel limnoa mimenu asiyat mitzvot. So too the Yetzer Hara tries to distract us from doing mitzvot. And even if we do them, then he tries to make us lose them. So that was the two examples that I gave. Either he distracts us at the beginning, should I be doing this? That's ahead of time. Limno mimenu mitzvot. And then even if we are doing them, the fact that we're debating, should I have done this, should I have done something else? That's la'abdem mimenu. It makes us lose it even in the middle. Because we're not even focused on what we're doing while we're doing it. Ve'im yitrapeh v'yitatzel. And if we do weaken ourselves and slacken off, when we become lazy, ve'lo yitchazek lirdof achareihem ve'litmoch bam. And we don't strengthen ourselves to chase after mitzvot and strengthen ourselves in it. Yishaer neor v'reik mehem bevadai. will remain shaked out of them and empty them certainly. It's like that in a conversation. If you're having a conversation with someone who's trying to distract you or win you over in a negative way, right? As long as you're very clear and you say, I'm certain of what I'm doing 100%, and they try a line of it, maybe not, you say, no, I know this, I've researched this, it's clear to me, I'm doing what's correct. And they start like from all different angles trying to weaken you, and you're just strong and strong, and there's like no openings. There's just no openings. Eventually they'll give up. It's okay, this is a person who's determined in his way, he knows what he's talking about, he lets go. However, if there's someone who they say, maybe not, you go, maybe not. Ah, maybe not, why not? You go, maybe not, maybe once I didn't feel it. Ah, you don't feel it. So tell me, why don't you feel it? What is it about you don't feel? And you're not even sure you don't feel it, but you say, oh, maybe sometimes I'm tired. Ah, it makes you worn out. You feel exhausted from it. You go, ah, exhausted, yeah, you're feeling, I feel worn out just hearing you speak. I can tell that you feel worn out. You go, yeah, I guess I am worn out. It's like, is this the right path for you? I'm not sure. Maybe 50-50. 50-50, there's 50% in you that like doesn't feel you want it. Like, what is that 50% in you want? Is it one more freedom, perhaps? Yeah, more freedom. If you had more freedom, what would you do? Would you party more? Would you relax more? Where do you like to relax? And by the time you finish the conversation, you're wiped out. There's nothing left. So you didn't even mean to give an opening. You were just being polite. You're just like, maybe they asked. I said, maybe yes. I'm just trying to be polite. But by the time they finished with you, they saw a tiny opening. They came in through that opening and they wiped you out. If you're Zaris, you know what you believe and you're clear what you believe in and you see it all the way through, you're able to see a mitzvah through and feel a connection with the Kodesh Baruch. If you're Zaris, but a little bit yes, a little bit no, you leave openings for the options. Maybe I should, maybe there's other ideas that are more important. Maybe someone else's idea was correct. Maybe some of that. Any openings that you leave open and not just seeing the mitzvah all the way through, seeing Avodas Hashem all the way through, the Eitz Hara is standing and waiting for that opportunity. The moment he gets that opening, he builds on it and fests on it and poisons it. And by the end, you feel like just worn out, drained from that whole interaction. You don't have koch. So three stages of zrizus. Stage number one, notice it in action and grab hold of it. Stage number two, machshava. Keep a machshava of purity, of connection to Hashem. Stage number three, to see it through all the way to the end of the mitzvah and not give up in the middle. So Hashem will continue tomorrow. Shalom. It's good to be back.